Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I'm getting wild deja vu right now.
You are?
Yeah. Let me just take a sec.
It's okay. Just remember, you've been in this moment before. You will be once again. Alex, we've been on this podcast call for 20 years.
Oh, no.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host, and I offered my neck in search of the truth, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, empanada food truck owner.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I'm going to say I when I'm talking for Ernesto. So instead of he says blah, 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 I'm going to say I say blah, blah, blah. But that's for him. Anyway, it was something like he remembers Toby. I remember Toby.
Well, you guys were.
He doesn't want any trouble. He sees lots of people. They come from all around to eat his delicious meat pockets.
You guys are on the same wavelength there.
Yeah, we were.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, after our main topic, we'll have a conference room and some trivia for sure this time.
Conference room's going to be an office-themed theme park, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking about an office.
I realized we should tease our conference rooms rather than say we're going to do it.
I feel like we should say what we're going to do. Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
You know, we're, 115 eps in?
We're still figuring
continuous
this out.
Continuous
better
improvement.
Better late than never.
But this week's main topic is the Scranton Strangler. That's Ooh. Right. We'll be diving into Scranton's notorious murderer, mate, question mark? So
are you saying question
what is
mark
the question
to the
mark?
Fact that he murdered?
Yeah. The notoriety?
I'll open with this. I was watching a YouTube video about the Scranton Strangler, and they've got a interview with Paul Lieberstein on this podcast called Box Angelist. And he says, Box Angelist.
Okay.
I can't talk. Okay.
Sean, I'm going to need you to back off that mic about a half inch.
Okay. I'll back off when I want to back off, okay?
And I never will.
Paul Lieberstein was saying on this podcast that the Scranton Strangler never killed anyone. And they never got around to actually saying that in the show. But in the writer's room, they had decided that he only just strangled people until they pass out and then he'd leave.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I guess I did assume there were some murders.
I assume they were all murders.
Well, didn't... Wasn't one part of Toby's like the conflict that he feels about sentencing an innocent man to death?
Yes.
Wasn't that one thing that he, yeah. So
that's yeah. right. That's
you would
right.
assume the penalty for, if the death penalty were being administered, then yeah.
I'll talk more about this interview later. Maybe he's just messing with us, but it's.
Or he's trying to cover his tracks, you know, throw us off the scent.
Interesting. Interesting. But anyway, Scranton Strangler, so I think what we want to do here first is just talk
Scranton
about
Strangler, played by Paul Feig, directed by Ken Kwapis.
We were just going to talk about everything that we know about the Scranton Strangler, everything that we learn in the show, and then we'll dive into the fan theories about the suspects.
And there are many.
there are at least five.
I think for me, the Scranton Strangler is an incredibly interesting little piece of the office, more so than whether or not whomever is the Strangler, is that this sort of throwaway line.
Who, when it's the object, it's whom. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're right. Whoever is the Strangler. Yeah, that is correct. It would be the subject, not the object. Sean used me as an object.
Great minds battling it out.
The fact that this little throwaway line, little detail, became a big plot point and kind of became part of the office world. And then why is it that these years later after the show, people felt the need to come up with these sort of theories about who it could be?
But yeah. I was mentioning this to Edwin, and I talked a little bit today when, and during our prep, and I was saying that the this is sort of the only lore that is in the world of The Office. Yes. In terms of an urban legend, a tale, this sort of thing we never see that is discussed and is sort of in the background, but it's referenced pretty much a little bit from starting in season six through the end of the show. So it's there right. for a good amount of time. Like the Scranton Strangler is looming, if you will, for about three seasons.
I was shocked at how late it actually comes up. It doesn't come up until season 6, episode 17. And the first mention of it is Andy getting that newspaper for Jim and Pam's firstborn, Cece.
For
Pee-Pee Halpert. Scranton Strangler Strikes Again is the headline that day.
Drop $50 on the frame.
That'd be a great prop to have, is that framed paper.
That's a good one. Yeah, wow. I love that.
Man, what a keepsake.
But yeah, it's introduced very late. And when I think about the Scranton Strangler, I kind of feel like it's there like since season 3 that Dwight's been bringing him up.
Yeah, it does have that feeling. But yeah, it's not. And then Dwight, of course, you know, as Halloween in season 7. And we'll get into the mentions. But it does. I agree with you, Sean. It feels like he's been there all along. Or she's been there all along. Who knows?
It's kind of a detail that they can kind of play with. It's in the world. So, I mean, we'll go through, like you said, the mentions, but in Happy Hour, they talk about the Scranton Strangler and Dwight's move by putting his hand in front of his neck. That would be the move when Angela surprises them in the parking lot. It's something that they can go back to time and time again. And it's funny to have this mysterious figure in the world of The Office, which is supposed to feel kind of real. In our Patreon episode, we talked a little bit about The Office and Parks and Rec and kind of the differences between them. And I think one thing that Parks and Rec has as a bigger feature of the show is this huge comedic world for them to play in, different places, different like characters. It's very similar to The Simpsons. And the Scranton Strangler feels like a little piece of that for The Office.
Yeah. It's like a sideshow Bob or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Parks and Rec, they can keep going back to different wells where like, oh, we have to go out. It'll be like, oh, no, that means we have to go meet with this person in this department.
And it's somebody we've seen before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And The Office doesn't really have that freedom, which is, I think, a big strength of The Office and a reason a lot of people like it is it does have this sandbox element. But yes, the fact that we never see interact, the Scranton Strangler doesn't actually show up. I like that. I like that it's this unseen sort of presence in the show and something that gives Toby a lot of identity for the second half of the show. Like, pretty much that's what he becomes about. And they fold in his, you know, with his true crime musings and his novels that he's writing. It makes sense that he would be the one to do that. And, But the amount of jury duty that's going on, like it works into the plot and it does become a fairly big thing.
It's funny too that it becomes kind of it starts with Andy and then it's kind of a Dwight thing with the Halloween costume and the thing in the Happy Hour parking lot and the thing where he's talking to Kelly about Indian guys being dorky for wearing their cell phones on the outside of their pants.
Yes.
No, it's right here. 911. Scranton Strangler's inside the house.
911. Hello, Scranton Strangler's in the house. Inside the house.
I love that.
So matter of fact.
In the house. Inside the house.
The way that he like unholsters it and brings it up to his ear. Yeah. Inside the house.
What are you talking about? It's not dorky. Yeah.
Just put it in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, for a whole season, it's just, you know, we get Andy's mention. Dwight mentions it a few times. And then we get in season 7, episode 8, the cold open, where Gabe walks into the office and everyone's in the other room. And Aaron comes in and is like, they caught him, the Scranton Strangler. And so they're watching the chase, and we get Michael Scott going out, collecting the rocks off of the road. Why don't you take these and go buy yourself a spaceship? But it's not until season 7, episode 11 that Toby first mentions him, which is announcing that he is going to be gone for jury duty.
I found it.
You go sell these and buy yourself a nice spaceship.
Looking at the wrong page.
Damn it.
But that talking about that progression, it kind of becomes it's a Dwight thing with a little bit of Michael, and then it becomes a huge piece of Toby. The reason that gets him out of the office for Holly to come back in terms of serving the more overall plot of the show, for Holly to come back in season 7. And then it, obviously it's a big piece of Toby's identity for presumably the rest of his life, because he never stops talking about it.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think we get Toby announcing that he's going to be on the jury for Scranton Strangler. The next mention of it is Dwight again with his Knights of the Night, saying that they, you know, the Scranton Strangler was caught on their watch, not with their help or something like that. I can't remember what the line is. But then the next mention of it, 10 episodes after Toby announces he's going to be on the jury, is him at the Dundies saying that he's not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hilarious.
Fresh off winning the Extreme Repulsiveness.
He gets up and you. Oh, that's this so is mean. His platform. Oh, that's so mean. This is an employee of ours.
I know what a
when his house is getting egged in the morning.
Yeah,
I love Jim and Oscar like saying, "You got to do it. You got to go up there."
It's his last Dundies, man. You got to play along.
I know. Yeah. He does not.
He really doesn't.
It is, I love this too, because I think, you know, obviously this story plays out further than this, but I love the idea that, I love this joke that Toby was the Toby of his own, of the jury. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know that those people hated him. You know that he was the last one to be convinced.
Seemed like Ernesto really liked him though.
Yeah.
Empanada guy.
Well, you know, Ernesto sees a lot of people. He doesn't want any trouble.
That's true.
There's also a tangential mention of in the Doomsday episode when they're all trying to guess passwords. And Dwight comes up and says, "Try Scranton Strangler 666, he says.
I think so. Yeah. It's Dwight's obsession with the Scranton Strangler is also very funny. It's very different than Toby's. Like, he's sort of almost has a comic book appreciation level for him as like a character. It's kind of like he dresses up for Halloween, which is funny because like Dwight is such a law-abiding, he's so pro-law that you'd think he wouldn't be idolizing a criminal like this or dressing up like him for, but hey,
it's a good point.
Same thing with Recyclops. That also we watch that thing happen in Recyclops where he goes from like pro-Earth to anti-Earth.
Dwight Dwight also you know, fights the computer right back in Dunder Mifflin Infinity, and then becomes
Computron.
So
he's full of it.
I mean, when Mr. Brown asks about what a hero is, Dwight has his response as I think you're thinking of a superhero. So it makes sense that later on in the show, he sees the Scranton Strangler as a supervillain of sorts.
Yeah. I do. It's funny that I think there could have been a little, they could have used Knights of the Night a little more and actually seen them in action.
Oh, if only.
But I can't imagine, there's not a perfect or a better group to get the Scranton Strangler, because the Scranton Strangler doesn't, what you're saying, Sean, doesn't kill. They just strangle till they pass out. And Knights of the Night are unarmed. It seems like it's a perfect foil to the Scranton Strangler, where neither of those groups commit all the way.
We've looked into a few times is what scene would you want to see that we never got in the show? That's one that was never written or never really implied, but a conflict between the Knights of the Night and the Scranton Strangler.
Hilarious.
It's hard to even
imagine.
Hilarious.
And he ends up just choking all of them and they all pass out. And they find all the Knights of the Night passed out.
But going back to Dwight's mention of it as the password, that is the only mention of Scranton Strangler during season 8. So we get this final joke at the end of season 7.
There's also the jury duty in season 8 as well.
Oh, with Ernesto and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yes, yes. But very little mention of the actual Strangler himself.
Yeah.
Correct. That's more about Jim's lie about jury duty.
Right. Yeah. So I think really the only mention is...
And Andy watching that little tush walk right up the courthouse steps each morning.
Because I think it's just funny that they, you know, they threw in this little joke at the end of season 7 to say that Toby was unsure about sending George Howard Scubb to death row. But I think it does it, until season 9 when so we
that's
get...
That's in season 9 when he says, that's got to be tough. Tough, I put an innocent man on death row. That's in season 9. That's in the boat.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't mention death row at the Dundies is what you're
correct.
Saying.
Correct.
No. Okay.
I would have to look at the specific quote from Michael's last sentence.
No, yeah, in that one, he just basically all he says is he did some of his own research.
I'm not sure he's guilty.
And yeah, he's not sure he's guilty. So he just, yeah, okay, the seeds of doubt are planted in Michael's last Dundies.
Okay. And have you guys seen 12 Angry Men?
I have.
It's 12 Angry Jurors, the play.
It is, it is, I would say, one of my top three movies all time. I'll say
This is, we've talked about like the lost episodes, the things that happen off to the side that we never get to see.
Like I just did that a minute ago.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be something I would love to see.
Yeah, what if the office reunion we're all waiting for just ends up being a tight legal drama about the Scranton Strangler case? And it's just Toby in 12
minutes. It's like Michael in Woof.com. I will not tell. What's wrong with you? What happened to you in high school?
I just can envision though, like the way that 12 Angry Men ends. Sorry, this is a spoiler now. But the guy who holds out until the end.
If you haven't seen the 1955 classic. Skip forward a couple minutes.
Well, I can't skip forward. The guy
at the end who is the last person that they need to convince on the jury that the boy is not guilty of murdering his dad, that guy has a bad relationship with his son, right?
Yes.
Oh,
he's
I
like,
see.
God, no. Like, fine, maybe. Like, you know, but like...
You spend your life! Yeah, it's all...
Yes.
Lee J. Cobb doing great work.
Oh, nice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what I...
It would be B.J. Novak.
I would love to see them break...
the modern version.
I would love to see them all break Toby down.
As he's just the one guy, yeah, they all want to go home, and he's just like, I'm not so sure.
Yeah,
I'm just still not sure.
Yeah, it could be another reason too that he's just loves to hold on to friends, no matter what.
Just like out in public, every now and then, somebody who was on the jury with would treat him like Michael treats him. It was just like, oh my God, you are a waste of life. I hate you.
Yeah, who let the lemon
head
into
the room?
Be so
mean to me. Yeah.
The case of the man and sad sack. The verdict, guilty.
Death to Toby.
Think of that it's Toby's Grendel.
Mm-hmm. But I think to wrap up everything else that we learn about the Scranton Strangler, season 9, we get Toby using this as just a way to talk to people, really, right? Nelly is actually interested in hearing about the trial, and then like,
mm-hmm,
and Stanley says, "See you next Halloween."
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, get out, skeleton man!
Yeah, it becomes such a huge part of Toby's personality because he's so obsessed with mystery and mystery novels and things like that, and it fits perfectly with his personality that he gets to be on the jury. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I left a copy of Best American Mystery Short Stories in the bathroom. We should buy some time.
There's also like an added joke as the show goes on of like Toby like wanting friends and needing friends, right? That's kind of a new joke as of season 9.
Yeah, he's living in the finale. He's living with a bunch of roommates trying to write the great American novel. And they're better than friends because they have to give you a month's notice before they leave.
That's one of the saddest lines in the whole show. Like, we still haven't done a Toby episode, but man, his arc is dismal, man. It just, that's how it ends. It's so sad.
Well, he's crying into Pam's, in Pam's arms with the dancing.
Oh,
is
yeah.
it Nelly? No. Is it me? No. It's everything.
It's just such a bummer, man. Like, I don't know.
But then as he's, you know, he keeps bringing up the Scranton Strangler to Nelly, and she's just like, get it out of your system. Just go meet him. Like, go, do something. Yeah. And so this is when he decides, yeah, maybe that is. It's funny because what's great about it is that Toby doesn't even realize that he's only obsessing about it so much or talking about it so much to get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she's like, well, get this out of your system. And then he's like, I'll do something about it. And it's like, this is a fool's errand. You don't even.
It is.
Yeah.
It's funny when those moments when Toby feels spurred to action. This is one. When he finds out that Pam is single and tries to ask her out. Yeah. He takes, Alex just did the dramatic glasses.
The glasses.
Yeah.
Off.
Kissing Nelly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Whatever Toby feels compelled to act is a very funny moment.
Anyone have a camera here?
Yeah. And what they do is not art.
Did anyone feel like this was a terrorist act? Oh, there's a whole other form for that.
Yeah. one mention of the Scranton Strangler that I want to make sure we catch that I don't think actually makes it into the show. Yeah, gosh, I wish. Yeah, but it's a blooper when Michael in a happy hour is like, oh, I'm working on a new one. Scranton Strangler.
I'm going to get it here.
And he keeps making John Krasinski and Jenna Fisher break. And yeah, they both start laughing alternately.
It is really good. The way he does that, working on a new one, Scranton's regular. Like he does.
Yeah.
When he sticks, anytime Steve Carell sticks his lower jaw all the way out, is always funny.
He does it in the same episode when he's on the pool table. This was for sure in the episode. When he's on the pool table playing the cue like an electric guitar and just his face. Yeah.
So, and then, of course, Nelly convinces Toby to go and visit George Howard Scubb at the Hunlock Creek, Pennsylvania State Correctional Facility. And
here's the thing about moonlight. It's not sunlight.
And he himself gets strangled by George Howard Scubb. Not murdered, just strangled.
He does. Through the bars, I guess?
Through the glass? Yeah,
are
I know.
Doing the phone and the plexiglass?
However, they're allowed to interact.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
The way that he nods to Nelly with the brace on his neck, just the...
That is funny. I was just thinking about how... I was just listening to Brian Baumgartner's oral history of The Office and them talking about letting... that Greg Daniels always didn't want to write the jokes. He wanted some of the performance to dictate the joke, right? And I feel like season 9, we've talked about this before too, like season 9, they kind of get away from that a little bit. They're writer's jokes a little bit. But this is a great, like, subtle, like, moment where the joke is in the performance where Toby just has to do the big nods.
Yeah, yeah.
The second time. Toby's in a neck brace on the show after his zipline accident in Costa Rica.
Yeah. I think everything we learn about the Scranton Strangler in the show. Is there any?
Yeah, I like the way that it evolves from the fake headline to this thing that is kind of a big plot point for Toby.
Right.
And it's something that the show can reference in other jokes.
Because it works, it's still funny just without context as that headline.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a single joke that works, and they decided to just pick it up and keep it going.
Yeah.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Well, then I'd like to move on.
Okay.
To the suspects.
Where do you want to go?
To the fan
Moving
theories.
On, season 9, episode yes. 16.
We...
Yes.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that episode, because that's...
lame attempt at humor, swing and a miss.
The heckle board is coming to life. Sean, get ready.
But we have to start... I'm ready for it. You just ignore it. That's how you deal with the heckle board. Okay. Let's talk about the suspects. Okay. And let's start with the most obvious, because everyone knows this one.
George Howard Scott.
Toby Flenderson is the Scranton Strangler. Okay. We did a fan theory episode a long time ago. You can go back and listen to that if you like, where we mentioned all this. But just like Alex was saying, one of the main points of evidence for this is that Toby suffers a neck wound and wants in Costa Rica and wants to inflict this injury on others. And so that's why he's strangling people and not murdering them. Mm-hmm. And they have to live with the neck.
So in this exercise, we're going to go sort of... potential strangler by potential strangler, and you're going to give us a bunch of evidence. We'll talk through it all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you have any.
No. I think we should talk about Toby as the Scranton Strangler. I mean, that's
right.
That I mean, the most prominent example.
We will deliberate over an empanada and mm-hmm. make our decision.
Yeah. And it'll play out exactly like the end of that movie. I took my headphones off when Sean was saying it.
Well, look, I think Toby is the most popular suspect for this, according to the internet, obviously, because he...
Oh, you found this on the internet?
Yes. Wikipedia.
Everybody. Oscar found a reason to look on WebMD.
No, but there's a lot of reasons for this, okay? Of course, Toby is obsessed with the crime in the end, so that's interesting, that he feels bad... that a quote-unquote innocent man, you know, may be on death row, right? Why does he know that? Because he's the Scranton Strangler. That he had the neck injury and wants to inflict that pain on other people. There's the line about, you know, the radon being the silent killer. And Michael says, "You are the silent killer." And Toby goes, "You'll see."
Yeah.
Right? What's that about?
That's the most damning evidence
for
me. Yeah. Yeah. Toby is not there when the Scranton Strangler is being caught, mm-hmm. right? And they're all watching the chase in the annex. And we've seen that car in the chase in the parking lot at Dunder Mifflin Scranton before. Okay. I think that's pretty much everything. All the reasons for him.
Can
being
you imagine strong. If they, you know, the video, the, you know, the video where Ryan is being brought out in handcuffs at the end of season mm-hmm. 4. What if the office members, the office staff watching that footage together, if they apprehend the Scranton Strangler and they see it's Toby in the car, can you imagine them all reacting in that moment?
Yeah, what would Michael?
Oh,
what
man.
Would Michael's
and
feelings
if,
be?
If, and
oh I, my God, Michael would be dancing.
And the best way they could do it is Michael would be gone picking up the gravel while it was happening, and then he would come back and they would say, "Did you see? It was Toby."
It's like no one tell him. Yeah,
yeah. That Michael is absent for what would be a triumphant moment for him.
And that's where they would, yeah. And they could
end
the
cold
exact
open.
Same. They could do the exact same ending of that cold open where he just goes, "No."
I think one other piece of evidence is that The Office, I think it was an official YouTube video from The Office channel, was making a murderer, making a strangler.
Making a Strangler.
Making a Strangler.
You can view this, of course.
Mm-hmm. This interview I watched too with Paul Lieberstein, like the interviewer is like, so what do you think? Like, is Toby the Scranton Strangler? And Toby's like, and Paul's just like, I don't know. Like, he just goes so quiet, and like, it's pretty clear that he's like, doesn't want to say one way or the other. So I don't know if it's just that they love that people figured this out later and they don't want to like discourage it, like, because it's just a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Or if maybe this was the plan all along. I don't know. There's a lot of good evidence.
He said, though, that they did not plan this out. But
that's what
I think. I think it's the middle ground where they didn't actually mean to make Toby the Scranton Strangler, but they were kind of delighted that people put that together.
Yeah.
And they're willing to be like, that's kind of fun to play along. Let's play along with that. So I think that's
and it's like, oh, yeah, we didn't have Toby in that scene.
Huh. Yeah, I think it was.
I guess we did decide this. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where this is from, but I remember hearing that an idea they kicked around in the writer's room was having one of the characters be a murderer or something like that. Like, what if? Just kind of an idea, a random idea.
Yeah.
And I think they must have been like excited to see the fan response to Scranton Strangler and see everyone's conspiracy or fan theories all those however many years later. But yeah. But he is certainly the main suspect.
Well, I want to take your comment about one of the characters being a murderer and segue into the next possible suspect. I think this is the least interesting theory, which is that the Scranton Strangler is Creed Bratton, right? We know that he's, you know, steals bags of blood, is covered in blood, got rid of William Charles Schneider, that he's been in jail before, that he runs in, like,
the fake ID business with the
fake
laminating
ID
machine.
Business. Yeah, I mean, he's wanted for drug smuggling and all
Papa
these
Smurf.
Other things. So he is, without a doubt, the number one criminal in the office. Perhaps it's him. But I don't think that there's any real good evidence for Creed beyond him just being a criminal in general.
People know the least about him, so they're suspicious because we fear what we don't know. You know what I mean, guys?
I know what you mean.
I assume the quarry would be a good place to dispose bodies.
Yeah, he says he throws things. Yeah. He wants to throw things down there.
If there are bodies, we don't know. But I don't think
he's body parts.
Honestly, I feel like Scranton's regular is just too small scale for Creed. I mean, Creed's federal. You know, that's who gets him in the end. It's not local police. It's federal, the FBI. So
he's going across state lines if he's a serial killer.
His crimes are much larger in scope.
It's really funny to think, too. Yeah, like, it seems like there might be... I'm just thinking if he tries to blackmail everyone in the office in that webisode series. So what does Creed want? What is Creed after? And it seems like he's in it for money. That seems to be his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he has a lot of side gigs, and I don't think he needs to... He doesn't have the rage that Toby might have deep, deep down.
Yeah, yeah. He seems to do... His crimes are more out of necessity to keep moving.
Survive.
Yeah,
or just to keep things interesting.
Yeah.
Make a little money while he does it, you know?
I just like stealing things. Yeah.
And getting everyone home on time.
Dwight K. Schrute has been thrown out as a possible suspect as well. Dwight is... as we said at the beginning, mentions the Scranton Strangler just as much as Toby does. And maybe just his obsession with...
You're breaking the law. Impossible. I love the law.
Do you want to die?
That is the one thing going against this argument, is just that Dwight is loves the law, is a law-abiding citizen, a volunteer sheriff. So...
He looks cute while he does it. Thanks, girl.
Another twist on this hypothetical confrontation between Knights of the Night and the Scranton Strangler. If it was Dwight.
You let go. No, you let go.
From the inside. An inside job on the Knights of the Night.
Yeah.
Hip punch.
It started.
I don't think it would. The Halloween costume is a ballsy move if that is the
case. Yeah.
He's got a twisted mind.
Although, yeah, yeah.
Although this is, I mean, like, listen, this is.
Hello, my name is Dwight Schrute.
And that's the recording of a killer right there.
That is.
Are you calling me wrong?
He does have kill across his chest plate as Cyclops.
Yeah, I know he's hiding in plain sight, but no, he's not Dwight. Next one.
I think again, the question is motive. You know, Creed's motive is money. Why would he become the Scranton Strangler? Dwight, why would he? He's got a 100-acre beef farm. Why would he do this? The next suspect would be Robert California.
Ah.
Okay. Robert California is mysterious.
We know he uses also fake names.
Uses fake names, involved in criminal undergrounds, I would say, is kind of what we learn at the end.
Now we're cooking.
he's just said so many things that lead us to believe that he's into some weird stuff on the side, right? But he...
I'll still be talking about geishas long past their bedtime.
But he doesn't show up till season 8.
Okay, hold on. Slow down. He also mentions...
How about you speed up?
He also mentions how he's like, I feel like I'm being strangled. Like I'm at one of those sex clubs, like off of I-84. So maybe that's his thing. No, you're absolutely right. He doesn't show up until after the strangler has been caught. But, you know, I mean, again, we're already talking about Toby possibly being the strangler.
I mean, that's a way to cover your tracks. Be a person in, like,
Toby could be right. George Howard Scubb is innocent. He was framed by Robert California, possibly. Or by GSL. Gabriel Susan Lewis.
They don't make these cords right. In boot cut anymore.
And Gaby makes three.
I don't want to get on my bad side. I've seen some horrible things. I own over 200 horror movies.
Okay, that's so weird.
The collection of drops that you have is basically the evidence for yeah, GSL.
Pretty much. Just
all the weird stuff that he talks about.
I know. Like, what muscles do you use to choke?
My delts are blasted.
You know?
Perhaps the filmmaker thought that even the notion of narrative was comforting.
He has rage.
Shut up about the sun. Shut up about the sun.
Yeah. And he's crass.
Yeah, I banged her.
Wow, that was great. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's really it. He loves the disturbing
cinema
horror.
Of the unsettling.
Yes, the cinema of the unsettling. Mm-hmm. The Strangler only arrives after Gabe arrives in the show in season 6.
He fits most serial killer profiles in terms of a single man, his age, just generally. Generally, just that he's single and a young man.
There's another,
and he's into fineries as well, like a Hannibal, if you will.
I know how to use chopsticks so well.
And he has that thing about premature babies or maternity wards. He loves maternity wards.
Oh yes, yes, the perfect balance of horror and something else.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, something creepy. God. Yeah.
It's like things, it's a place where things can go, you know, terribly wrong or so right.
Yeah.
But the way he says it is just very weird.
Oh my gosh. I think that there's.
I like the Gabe one.
Yeah.
There's another little weird bit of evidence. I don't know if you can call this evidence, but it's a tie that some people made on the internet, which is that in the show, Dexter, which is about a serial killer, Dexter uses a saber printer. This
Does
is just
really?
A little, yeah, yeah. This is like I've a little that. Nod to the office that they do in Dexter. Just like a close up shot of him pulling something off of a printer, and you can see the logo says Saber.
That's right. They are in Florida.
And this is people are like, well, Gabe's from Florida.
Whoa.
So
wait a minute.
There you go. Gabe's the Scranton Strangler.
Oh, Gabe from Florida. He kills.
Sean, do you know what kind of printers?
A lot of time on flights.
Do you know what kind of printer they use in Dexter's lab, the cartoon?
Mm. Probably an Acme printer. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, but
that's fun. That's a good little that Easter egg is a good
yes, that's a good Easter egg. Shout out to this video called "The Scranton Strangler Timeline" on YouTube by Chad Nisha. Go check that out if you want some more. Some more hard evidence.
If we haven't covered all of your Scranton Strangler needs by now, there's a lot more.
There's a lot. Hours of material.
One thing that,
online.
If it's not Toby, then the George Howard Scub scene seems a little out of place.
Well, right. Okay. So here's the theory on that. Toby goes and tells George Howard Scub, I know you're innocent because I'm the strangler.
No.
And then George Howard Scub... chokes him.
I understand. Okay. If it is any of the other people. So the Scranton Strangler is Robert California. That scene doesn't make a lot of sense unless George Howard Scubb is just truly, you know, a violent person like that.
I think you're right. And I think that's why the argument for Toby is
like
by
I get
far
it for Toby when he wants to let him know. I guess that's a cold move right there.
Yeah, it does. That one scene does pull out. You know, that does take away all these other possibilities.
I think so.
You know, hey, we're here.
But
this is a podcast about a TV show and an episode about a maybe fake thing that doesn't happen. You're very detached by this point.
So there you have it. The Scranton Strangler.
You guys, what do you guys, like, do you guys think Toby is Scranton Strangler? How do you feel about this whole question? And do you lean one way or the other?
My brain says it's George Howard Scubb, but my heart and just to be a fan, it's a lot more fun if he is.
If Toby is.
It makes his story, the ending of his story, even darker than it already is, and it's pretty rough. As he sort of fades into loneliness at the end.
Yeah, that Toby could do this and get away with it and still be to have such a sad ending.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I've mentioned before that I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts.
Oh, yes, you
do. And a lot of serial killers are losers and pieces of crap, like
Sean.
Toby a little bit. I'd say all of them, maybe.
I remember,
I like this. I think it's fun.
Another profiling thing of a lot of killers is high IQ, low income. And I wonder if Toby crosses those checkboxes as well.
Could be. Yeah. When we talk about what's true and what's not, I would say for me, that is, was this mentioned in the writer's room? Was this in the back of their minds at the time of writing it? I don't think it was.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's true in that respect. But I love that the writers, like Paul Lieberstein, have kind of embraced this as like a, could be. We don't know. Maybe. Like, and so I think it's fun. I mean, obviously, here we are like 100 episodes after our fan theory episode, still talking about this one. It's one of the most fun fan theories to come out of the show. It's one of the most fun mysteries to discuss. So I really love the Scranton Strangler. Thank you, Scranton Strangler. You just took one more person's breath away.
I know. That is actually, we didn't even talk about that, is maybe the biggest fallout of this whole plot point is like Holly and Michael. Mm-hmm.
That's,
you know,
right.
Connected,
that's right.
So. Yeah. Then it serves the larger plot of the show. After being kind of a throwaway joke in its first appearance.
I always thought Roy could have been a suspect too, given the timing of the delivery, that I don't know how he would have found out the day before Pam was pregnant, but as a rage fueled
so angry
act.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't get the jet, he had to sell the jet skis, and you know, we know that.
Although
he has some demons,
Roy. How far by season six? We think that Roy is probably on the path to gravel company. He's bringing all that sweet, sweet gravel money at this point.
He's on a nice
living a double life.
Pea gravel, yeah.
Living a double life. Getting piano lessons when he's supposed to be boxing. So
he's already capable.
I don't
lying,
trust him.
Prone to rage. It physically could best anyone. So you tell me.
We'll never know. there you guys have it. What do you think? Edwin, what do you think?
I mean, I would echo what you guys said. Like, my head says George Howard's gun, but it's fun to believe, and it's fun to kind of have it be Toby and think about what that could mean for the show. But yeah, I love that it's still a point of discussion all these years later.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hit us up and let us know what you think, you listening at home.
Maybe we can do an Instagram poll or something.
Yeah,
we recently did the this or that, and that was super fun. So, mm-hmm.
And if there's any other theories out there, let us know. Hit us up. All right, time for a little conference room. 5 minutes.
Okay, everybody, listen up. If you are not in that conference room in 2 minutes, I am going to kill you.
All right, for conference room this week, I was inspired by a clip from Nate Bargatze's podcast. I believe it's called Nateland, where they talked about what a theme park would be based on Nate. Nate Bargatze is a really funny comedian. You should check out his specials if you haven't. But they were talking about rides and things inspired by the bits that he has or his material. So, but that got me thinking, what would be in an office-themed theme park? What would be the rides? What would be the food? What would be the attractions, the shows, the parades? What could that be?
I think you got to have pretzel carts all over the place.
Good call.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we can just start with why don't we start with food? Pretzels.
Sure.
Mayonnaise and black olives.
Oh, mayonnaise and black olives. Hog Mama. Mm-hmm.
I guess you'd serve chocolate chip ice cream and call it.
That's what you would do.
That's correct. And also have mint chocolate chip available as well.
Yes, yes.
The wine would be the glue vine or whatever.
It would be really funny if you
Kevin's
had...
bar. Oh, it would be Kevin's bar. And maybe public school. You could have those as the bars.
Public school, yeah.
You had a pizza by Alfredo and Alfredo's Pizza Cafe. One is a buffet and the other is like very, very expensive but very good pizza.
Yeah,
if you go to the which one's the bad one?
Pizza by Alfredo, I believe.
Pizza by Alfredo. So if you go to Pizza by Alfredo,
it's like eating a hot circle of garbage.
They just escort you out of the park after that.
Yeah.
That's a great food court right there. Maybe a Sbarro's.
Yeah.
Or a third pizza option. Yeah. Cooper's. A little seafood in there, no problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is there any other food or any other beverage? I mean, that we're missing. I'm sure there is turkey, tomato bloaty, ketchup.
Oh yeah,
somebody ate three feet of that thing.
I'd love to get an orange vodjuska.
Oh, yeah. How about a grill your own bacon, like on Foreman grills?
Oh, that's good. But
on
I mean,
the ground.
Yeah, I think
on the ground,
so
just don't step on them.
We've got some food options. What about rides? I was thinking that you could do a ride inspired by Michael's emotional roller coasters.
Yes, and I think it would end plunging into the lake in a car.
Yeah,
you'd be in a car.
It's a water ride. It's a log ride.
Yeah.
Or is it a roller coaster and then you've got a splash element?
I'm thinking a splash element. Yeah. And the thing is, like, the cars you ride in are all Sebrings. They're little Sebrings on the roller coaster.
Maybe
like
one is a PT Cruiser.
Yeah. And that's what you do.
That's great. Oh, my gosh. I love that. The roller coaster cars are little Sebrings and PT Cruisers. And then as you're climbing up to the top of the drop, you've got a little television screen in your car with Michael just going, "No, God, please, no, no, no." And then right as you drop, "No."
And then like as you go through the loop-de-loop or wherever, it'd be like, parkour. You'd have all of his little things, little sayings throughout. That would be the main attraction, right? The Michael Scott emotional roller coaster.
That is brilliant.
It's really good.
Man.
You'd have a basket, an art, like a little like arcade carnival game inspired by the basketball game.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted, they could make the splash. If you wanted like a splash coat, it could look like a Burlington coat with a big blood splatter on it.
You could do sumo wrestling.
Yeah, sumo, safety mittens. Mm-hmm.
What's the elevator down into the mine shaft? Like a 700-foot drop.
It goes really slowly. Yeah.
I think there would be a lake. I think there'd be some lake element here. Where you could also have a beach, and you could have beach games where people could actually do some of those things. You could have a hot dog eating contest as well.
Yeah, beach games could just be like a whole boardwalk of
The beach games boardwalk.
Instead of the traditional fireworks show, everyone gets on the roof of a building and you watched a guy dressed as Kevin and a guy dressed as Dwight run over the fireworks that they're setting off in the field across the street.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, if you have the lake, you might as well get the booze cruise boat on there.
It's
for the families.
A part of this that I hadn't thought about before is that, like, similar to like Disneyland, where people dress up as like Winnie the Pooh, or you know,
you'd have
people dressed up as office characters,
like a big Dwight.
I was just thinking, instead of a parade, it's just the fun run. It's just like they all come jogging through.
Yes,
but you'd have to have somebody dressed like Dwight and dressed like Michael, and you know.
Well, Disney does put on marathons, you know, for people. Mm-hmm. They could have a 5K once a year at this theme park.
This theme park, yeah.
So we have an awesome roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking something. You could do a haunted ride through Shroot Farms.
Oh yeah.
You could do sort of that through
the
barns.
Warehouse, maybe that like that.
Moe's is fear is in there, jumps out at you.
That's good.
Yeah, so something with Shroot Farms and horror. Kind of an older Midsommar type.
The wind blowing in the outhouse door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The cornfield. Mm-hmm. You could have that.
And then at the end, Dwight tells you that it was beet juice. It was beet juice.
Adjacently, you'd have the hay maze from Hay Place.
Gotta have
you basically just have Hay Place at Shroot Farms as well for the kids.
Yeah.
Right next to the horror ride.
What a kinda.
The kinda. Yeah, what are the rides? I mean, what are the rides? Yeah, something with the baler, the warehouse. The jump from onto the trampoline from the roof. Yeah. I don't know, like
the
like
flight of the watermelon.
You do one of those drop rides where it's just like you go all the way up and everyone holds a watermelon and then it just drops you.
Or maybe a bouncy castle inspired by Michael's aborted jump to the bouncy castle.
Yes.
Yeah. What about Roger Rabbit at Disneyland, like you're
wild
kind
ride.
Of you're it's just like a car, but you're it's like very story based and you're just kind of jerking around and everything like that. That could be like stress relief, making it out of the office.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
The fire. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or doing the nepotism cold open, the lip dub. You're moving through that, you know, and you get to sing maybe a karaoke. There's a little
karaoke. It would take
stage.
You through a bunch of those. One of those would be, the nepotism cold open, the fire, Michael's perfect day from the surplus.
Yeah.
Michael acting out the West Wing and viewing party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jim, I need that thing stat.
Oh, man.
I feel like this is one of those things, as soon as we stop talking, I'm going to keep having ideas.
I know. And it's one for all y'all listening at home. Hit us up. Let us know what your ideas are.
Maybe a standing, maybe at the top of the hour, someone does Lincoln's speech. Like in a little amphitheater from Gettysburg.
I need her like I need a hole in the head.
Yeah, you just have that. Every 2 hours, there's the Gettysburg speech at the amphitheater.
And then when the park closes, whenever that is, Michael gets up and says, "I declare bankruptcy."
I thought you were going to say Andy gets up and sings closing time.
Oh, that would be better. That would be better.
Running through the park.
Yeah.
Having people finish the lines.
There's like the Dapper Dans at Disneyland that you could acapella, like the Here Comes Trouble guys.
Oh, that's good. I like that. All right.
I think you could have some sort of ride based around just Dwight's old, like, you know, Trans Am car. Like just kind of a, like a heavy metal type of like a Dwight, just a Dwight ride would work.
Yeah.
You know, you could just have that. And now all the elements of Dwight are in there.
I love the idea of Shroot Farms being like a world within the theme park that is just all Dwight. It's as if Dwight made his own theme park. So the farm is part of it, but there's also Hay Place and there's also like a racetrack.
The hotel that he manages with the devil.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where you stay.
Yeah.
A boot camp for Knights of the Night, you know, stuff like that.
Last one for me before we move on. Hall of Presidents, just Hall of Regional Managers. and it's everyone. Yeah, yeah.
I like that. I was going to throw out Booze Cruise. Like Disneyland has their little
Yeah, Alex was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Sorry. I was thinking of
it. It's fine. It's cool, man. Whatever.
That
area could be Andy themed area where it's all boat, a lot of boat themed stuff.
Yes.
Luff them up.
Yeah. There's a lazy river. There's kind of some other water elements. It's like you get little boat shoes for that section. Yeah. Be a whole thing.
But anyway, we
can
talk
about
with
Jim and Pam section. But
oh yeah, you would need a Halpert Beasley section. Mm-hmm. Tunnel of Love,
crafts, art and crafts station.
We'll get to all the theme park worlds eventually.
In time.
But for now, we must move on.
It's a good start.
Trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Okay, this week's trivia comes to us from Paige. Paige says, "Hello, Michael Scott Podcast Company, and greetings from the East Coast."
Hi, Paige.
"When I am trying to turn my brain off and fall asleep, I play the alphabet game. I come up with a category and have to come up with something from that category for each letter of the alphabet. Last night, I tried doing it with characters from The Office, and it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. So this is the game today, gentlemen. We are going to go through the alphabet, and I would say whoever can, we don't have to go round and round. I'd say just as letters come up, we'll go through this as fast as we can.
So we're giving characters specifically?
Yes, we're going to go through the alphabet
and
name characters based on the first letter of that.
Michael plays this game. Hey, my name is Alan, and I live in...
Yes, exactly. You do get bonus points for alliteration, so please keep that in mind. And I will tell you now, I don't believe there are names for Q, X, and Y, but we'll see.
Okay.
All right? Let's start with...
It has to be character names. We can't use actor names.
No actor names, no. And Paige was kind enough to go through and give me a list to read off of, but I will not be sharing that with you.
Okay.
So fine. I know that there are names.
I wish I could, but I can't. Well, can, but won't. Should, maybe, but short.
I don't think that any of these ones provided our last names.
Okay, let's just start.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm ready.
A.
Who's starting?
Andy Bernard.
We can go back and forth, and if you don't, we'll start with Edwin. Okay so it. Alex, B.
Beasley, comma Pam.
Can you get a first name, Edwin?
Brian.
Sorry, I forgot we were doing the last name.
Brian, camera guy.
Brian.
Yeah,
nice,
Brian.
Nice,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Also, Bob Vance Refrigeration. What about C to Alex?
I mean, Kathy.
Kathy, yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Creed.
D,
Daryl.
Daryl, nice. D'Angelo Vickers would work as well. E.
Aaron Hannah. Yeah.
Correct. F.
Frank in the warehouse.
Yeah, the mural defacer.
Yeah.
Yes, nice. Nice.
I had a thing also would have
also would have accepted Frank of Frank and Beans.
Frank and Beans. That's good. It is harder, and it's like I should know it quicker, but it's
You guys are doing good.
Right,
G.
Gabriel
Susan Lewis. H.
Ide.
Nice.
Oh, good one. Oh, yeah. Holly Flax would have been accepted. I.
Oh, wow.
There's not an Irene. Is there an Irene? Isn't that Michael? No, that's...
There is an Irene. She is the old lady in season 8.
Oh, yeah,
eight
in season
Aaron
8. Irene.
All right. I knew there. Okay.
So you dug deep.
Well done, sir. Where's the ring, Lancelot?
Yeah.
Lancelot. J.
Joe Bennett.
Jim Halpert.
Jim Halpert, Joe Bennett, Jan Levinson Gould. Mm-hmm. Nice work. Okay, K.
Two.
Kathy.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Thank you.
Do you want to try one, Edwin?
Kevin.
We already got it. We're fine.
K. Kelly Kapoor would have gotten you double points.
I forgot about the double.
Double,
thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeez. L's?
We don't know Kathy's last name, so that could be another point.
Sims.
Yeah, that's true.
L?
L? L?
Is, who's it to? I don't remember.
Edwin, why don't you try?
Oh.
Larry? I don't know.
I was going to say Luke. Michael's nephew.
Oh, Luke. Michael's nephew.
Ah, yeah. Luke. Nice. Yep. Yeah. Lonnie from The Warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
M.
To Alex.
Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Michael Scott. Yep. N.
I just had one. Nick the IT guy.
Let me talk like this.
Oh, and Nelly.
Nelly.
Yeah.
Or one of our favorites, Nate.
Nate. Of course.
I don't know why I'm thinking of minor characters before major characters.
It's, I don't know. I do too. It's easier. I'm like, well, think of dig deep.
Yeah. Larry. Who's you Larry? Know, yeah.
You know, even Paige's list, you know, she picked Jam before Jim, you know?
I think after C. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Who's this to?
This is to Alex. How about?
Oscar.
Yeah.
Oscar Martinez. Jeez. P.
Pam.
And then you say, Pam. And then you sneezed in my tea. Do you remember
and then
that?
You said, no, no, don't worry. It's just allergies.
I don't think there is a Q. So we'll skip.
Ken Quabbis. Yeah.
R.
Oh, who,
Is it Alex? Yeah.
Alex.
Go for it.
Roy.
There we go. Yes, Roy or this
Robert
again,
California.
Yeah,
Robert California or Paige's suggestion was Rolando.
Oh, Rolando.
Nice. Deep cut. Mm-hmm.
You're late.
S.
Stanley.
S, no. Stanley Hudson.
Manly, great guy.
Stanley the Manly.
Alex. T to Alex.
Oh, how about a little bit of... How about some... About some tea,
Tim from the UK office. No,
from the UK office. Todd Packer.
Todd Packer.
Terry Stanley's wife.
Fourth wife.
Yeah,
right. Can you come up with one for you? This is where
Urkel Grew.
Urkel
Grew. Yes, that's exactly what Paige suggested too.
I couldn't get Todd Packer, and I get Urkel.
Yeah.
This one's for Edwin. V.
Venus is what Luke calls Phyllis.
Val.
Good. Oh, Val. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Good. Yeah. These are good. I was looking for Vikram though.
Oh, Vikram.
Uh-huh.
R.I.P.
W.
Wesley Silver. The Senator's aide. Wesley Silver is gay?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go with William M. Butlicker.
Great.
Sure.
Paige said Wolf, not to be confused with Rolf.
Yeah, Wolf is a different character.
Who is Wolf?
Wolf is... hold on, I'm pulling it up.
Another one of Dwight's friends?
Yeah, it's one of Dwight's friends.
Oh, okay. Finally, Z. Anyone who can get it.
Zach.
Z.
Is there a, there not a, there's a Z. So one of Michael's characters?
There is a Zeke.
Oh, Zeke. Dwight's cousin.
Zeke Shrute.
Of course. Yes. Yep. Played by a badger.
Yeah,
that's right. Yes, from Breaking Bad. Okay, I hope that was a good trivia because Paige, that was really fun for us. So thank you so much for suggesting that. Love that. If you have a trivia you'd like to share with us, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can always give us a call and leave us a voicemail. We'd love to play them on the show, 503-694-9314. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And you can join us on Patreon, patreon.com/MichaelScott. For $5 a month, you can become a Scott's Tot and support the show. We'll have bonus. We have a bonus mailbag episode every month. You can write us messages on Patreon, and we get to all of them usually. So join us there. Special thanks to our Patreon supporters. We love you guys so much. We wouldn't still be here if it weren't for y'all. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs all our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you for listening. I hope you know we appreciate everyone for listening, for hanging out with us, spending a little time catching up about The Office. I hope you enjoyed our Grand Strangler episode. I look forward to hearing your theories and your ideas for what would go in the theme park. Just know that we truly appreciate it. Special thanks to Alex for playing that drop about Oscar looking up something on WebMD when Sean references looking up something on Wikipedia or Dunderpedia. That was a special request I made, and I hope to hear it more in the future. So, thanks to everybody. Take care, stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity Poppy, give me this up.
Yes, sir. Sir.
Yo, Mike, our town is dope and pretty.
So check out how we live.
In the Electric City. They call it Scranton.
What?
The Electric City. Scranton.
What?
The Electric City. Lazy Scranton, the Electric City. They call it that because of the electricity. The city's laid out from east to west, and our public parks and libraries are truly the best.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island, USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.